Hello, and welcome to Geek Speak on KDNK. Support for Geek Speak comes from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected, 948-7992. And Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. My name is Steve Skinner. I'm here with Louis the Computer Guy.
Hey, Steve.
And Matt McBrayer from the Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Hello, everyone.
So glad you could tune in. I hope you'll find something wrong with your stuff and give us a call at 963-2976. That's 970-963-2976. Free tech support for the next 25 minutes or so on GeekSpeak. 963-2976. It's great to have you here with us today, geeks.
I think Donna Dalton's in Sweden or something like that. Did you get that memo?
I did get that memo, but I still expect her call.
Mm-hmm. Even though it is...
It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, it's probably about 1 anyway.
She's just getting started.
I was going to say, there are many, like some really high-profile technology users that do their best work at 3 in the morning.
I get some of my best messages in the wee hours.
Yeah.
I can't say that I send out some of my best...
On Twitter? Is it on Twitter? Is that it comes?
We're already getting a call. This is great. Hi, you're on with the geeks.
I was trying to reach Beth.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got to call the office now, 963-0139. Thank you. I was so excited, and it was just a call for Beth.
Hmm.
Anyway, 963-2976.
Right. So what you got?
What was I talking about? I already forgot. I was got distracted by that. Oh, my late night geeks.
Twittering?
Twittering and twanging. Hi, you're on with the geeks.
Yeah, I'm trying to get online and find Watcher of the Skies on video, and I'm not sure if I have the right, right stuff.
Well, the way to do that is to go to YouTube first.
Okay.
And then search inside YouTube, and you'll find the best video of Peter Gabriel and Genesis doing Watcher of the Skies that will just blow your hair back.
If you search really hard, you'll find... If you search really hard, you'll find one of the Steve Skinner Band doing it. But it's buried deep.
You know, I keep being told that Steve Skinner Band and Louie are going to play that for me, and I keep waiting.
Well, you have to hire us back in your and get you in your establishment, and then we will.
You have to wind the frog, as they say.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
All right.
Yeah, really, if you're looking for videos and stuff, it's best to go to YouTube first. And then search.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Got it.
Or check out some of the other ones, but YouTube has so many.
It does. So. It's the original and the best. What are some of the other sources that you go to?
Vimeo, right?
Yeah, Vimeo is the other
Aren't
one.
Aren't Vimeo's just the really short videos, though?
No, there's no... I don't think there's any limitation on that. Okay. It's just another... It's another service very similar to YouTube.
I see.
But every once in a while, there'll be a something hosted there as opposed to YouTube. But YouTube's very ubiquitous at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So I was going to say, Matt, do you have any clients that use Sprint in the Valley here? Because Sprint has upped their game. They've gone...
I can't think that I of any that do.
They've gone 4G, LTE, and I can't say their map looks quite as good as Verizon, but they have a heck of a win over deal. Not that I'm here to sell their stuff, but I'm thinking about switching.
Okay, how much is it? What? Talk to me about the deal.
Well, basically, with brand new iPhone 6s for my wife and I both, mm-hmm. our monthly, even with the payments on the phones, is going to be $120 a month.
That's still kind of pricey. Hi, you're on with the geeks.
Hi. I don't have a computer or a server or anything, but I do have dyslexia, and I'm retired just recently, and I want to get a computer that... I don't know, works with people. I just want to talk to the thing and have a friend.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, a friend of mine was just in here today, and he bought himself a brand new computer locally. I can't remember the place he bought it, but he really did not spend any money. He bought an HP for $200, and he was so frustrated with it because it was so slow loading, and it was just...
Well, if you're going to go on the budget, then go with the Chromebook.
A Chromebook.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're going to, is budget a concern?
No, it has to have enough power for that. I don't know the name of the pro Tiger or something.
Well, there's Dragon Naturally Speaking, which I use.
I mean, that's it.
And the other one that I've been testing is on Google Chrome, and this works on any laptop computer. Once you sign up for a Google account, you go into, and this only works in Google Docs. So if you're in a document, you can go to Tools and say Voice Typing, and it'll say, hey, can I get permission to use the microphone on your computer? And you say, sure. And then it works very much like Dragon Naturally Speaking, but it's completely free.
Also, I think you're talking about talking to your computer and barking orders at it, right?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Barking?
Well,
that sounds...
You know, like the new versions of the Mac
like
operating system.
Like some kind of cyber bullet.
Yeah, offer you Siri so you can talk to your computer and say, hey, look this up or call this person or whatever.
I'll have to try that on my Mac and see if you can type with Siri. Have
you
tried that one yet, Louis?
I have not. No.
Okay.
It's So are you looking to be able to like surf the internet using voice commands and that kind of thing? Is it mainly composing documents that you're looking for?
You know, I don't know. I want to play chess with somebody over the computer. And fiddle with, and I guess get on social networking and things like that.
Okay.
I can think of anything else to use a computer for. I don't want to text. I have dyslexia. I'll screw it up.
Right, right. That's why you need a service like Siri. So I recommend the new Mac, whatever.
And Google has that built in for everyone. So if you go to... just go to google.com on any computer that has a microphone. You can click on the little mic, and I do this from time to time because I have dyslexia. If I don't have any of my tools available, I just fire up my phone and say, okay, Google, and say the word that I'm looking for, and it will find it.
Hmm. So I don't need that much of a computer anyway, huh? Or what are you saying? Where are we at there?
Well, not for starters, but in order to run Dragon Naturally Speaking, you're going to have a fair amount of power,
And, okay.
So, maybe if you want it, when you get a little bit closer, I really personally would recommend the Apple route, because the new Apples have Siri built into them, and the new version of the Mac operating system has Siri, built into it. So, it gives you a lot of more options. So,
and there's also Dragon Dictate. I think they call it something else now, but Dragon has a product for the Mac operating system as well.
Yeah.
So,
just want to throw and go, you just want to get going, you want to plug something in and tell it to go to google.com and then start asking it questions and have it, be able to dictate to it. The new Mac is definitely a good way to go.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for calling 963-2976. We got to remember that some of our listeners aren't as sophisticated as you guys, and they don't want to download things, or they just want to start by saying, "Do this."
I guess you could even look at a tablet if you're doing that.
Yeah, we brought it down as far as we can, man.
Yeah, I know these geeks are.
Whew, any further down, we're asleep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Any further down there at the porcelain level, 963-2976.
Cool. There's an add-in for Chrome that I use called Open Dyslexic, and they've designed a special weighted font that it overrides for all of your sites. And so your dyslexic brain flips things around sometimes, and so they've made it all the characters look heavier.
Oh, wow.
And so your brain flips them the right way so they're easier to read.
Oh, man, I need my brain flipped. Hi, you are on with the Geeks.
Hey, Geeks. Hello.
Hello.
I just bought a new computer. And that means I have been migrated to Windows 10. And I've been poking around on it for a while. I'm kind of getting a feel for it, but I have one nagging problem I can't seem to figure out.
Okay.
I'm apparently logged into my network, but I'm not able to find my printer. It comes up with a legacy printer that I don't even have anymore, but that's the only one it seems to come up with, so... Any thoughts on how to find that guy?
All right. Go to Settings. So click on the little Windows button in the lower left-hand corner. Second or third one up is Settings. And then go to Devices.
Right. right.
And so once you're in there, it'll give it a few moments. It'll try to find the, as long as the printers are connected to the network and in a ready state, it should find it automatically. If it's an older printer, you may have to enter that manually, and I'm not sure that I've done that on a Windows 10 machine yet. But usually
it's
just
not
fine.
That old. It's a HP Color LaserJet, so it's a couple years old. But what it is picking up is one from 15 years ago that I haven't used in quite some time. That's the only printer. It comes up with HP ePrint, Jet Advantage, and Microsoft Printed PDF, and a bunch of things like that. But
so what we hear you saying is that you've already been into the. Have you already been in and tried to do an ad printer routine on it at this point?
I have.
Okay,
yes,
got
I
it.
Have.
Well, and the printer is connected to your network, is what you said, right?
It is, yeah. I can print off my desktop computer, but not my laptop.
Got it. Well, one thing that you should check is one of the things that commonly happens when you first fire up a Windows 10 computer or it detects a new network is a little window will come up and it'll ask you, do you want to allow your computer to discover devices and be discoverable on the network? And the answer to that question is very vital. If you say no, then you basically tell the computer that you want it to be in a kind of a shutdown mode where all it can do is look out through your internet portal and at stuff on the internet. It basically blocks you off from anything that's connected to your local network. And
that may have happened. I don't recall that exactly, but
it just happens inadvertently.
Like
but anyway, so the way to fix it is down the lower right hand corner of your screen. There should be a little icon that it kind of looks like a little computer, maybe two computers, one in front of the other.
Or if it's wireless, it'll look like a half pizza,
like a series of waves. Yeah, a little triangle wave.
Got the half pizza.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, if you right click on that guy and then go to Open Network and Sharing Center.
Okay.
And in the Network and Sharing Center, like up towards the top, it'll basically say the name of the network that you're connected to. Does it show like an icon of a park bench by any chance? Is there a
Not seeing.
Does
not
it say the word public or the word private or the word work? Those?
So on the left-hand side, it'll say the name of the network you're connected to, and then it'll say, like, public network or home network or work network. Does it say anything like that?
I'm not seeing any name of a network. The only network is showing my the router, my Motorola router, the internet.
Okay. So you're in the network and sharing center right now, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah, so this is generally kind of like up, you know, I won't say it's exactly on the left, but it's kind of like it's in, you know, kind of towards the top of the page. And what does the header there, Matt, say? What is this?
Well, it says Network and Sharing Center, and then the next line is Control Panel, Network, Internet, Network and Sharing Center. That's the bar, I guess, the search bar. Then I got Control Panel Home, Change Adapter Settings, Change Advanced Sharing Settings.
To the right of that, does it say... view your active networks?
Yeah, view your basic network, and active networks, the only one that's coming up with is the Motorola. I'm sorry, there it says private network, yes.
Okay, got it. All right, well, then that is not, that's not the issue then. Has any of your network infrastructure changed? Like, are you in the same router that you were on before you got this new computer? Okay, got it. Well, then probably the best way to, the next thing to do, you may need professional help,
I've been told that many times.
We'll try to find a number for you.
If you go to your printer and you go into the setup menu, there is an area called reports. If you go into setup area and go to network, there will be a thing that says like print network report or show network summary. And it'll show an IP address in there, the printer's IP address. And then you can go in and try to manually add the printer using that IP address. That's probably the next thing that I would try.
Okay, well, you could also, while you're in there where we just were, on the left-hand side at the bottom, you can go to advanced. And then make sure that turn on network discovery is checked.
Okay.
There you go.
Just to make sure that...
You jumped it. you jumped a little faster than I've been. So I'm back into settings now.
Yeah, so
back in the network and sharing center.
Yeah.
And
network and internet, yeah.
Yep. On the left-hand side, network. It says change advanced sharing settings.
Okay. Sharing options, okay.
Okay, and then the first option there will be network discovery, and it'll say when network discovery is on, this computer can see other network computers and devices, et cetera. Is the checkbox there? Which one of those is it black?
Okay, it's on turn on network discovery, and then there's a checkbox, turn on automatic setup of network connected devices. It's checked.
Okay, so it should find it if it's available on the network. So you might have a segmented network or something else is going on.
The next one there is file and printer sharing, and turn on file and printer sharing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
are you
near a restroom?
So both those are checked.
Maybe
as
next week we need to do a live remote from your house.
Come on down.
Now, can't he just go get like the hardware or the firmware for that printer?
Well,
you could go to the
manufacturer's website and locate the full driver package. It's going to be like probably 130 to 170 megs in size, and download that full driver installer package. And run the setup wizard, and see if it can find it. And that's
why
really,
I get the big
really,
bucks.
It is
right there,
bazinga. So yeah, so try that first, and then if not, check back with us. So
okay. Thank you for your time.
All right, thanks a lot for calling 963-2976. I was wondering about the firmware for a while there.
Yeah, well, that's the software package.
Yeah.
So
why do they call it firmware if it's software? Never mind. I don't even need.
So
it.
You have. Software, which is software that executes on the inside of an operating system.
Yes.
You have firmware, which is something like it's software that's been written to a chip in the computer. So it's lower level software.
Or the printer or the router
right.
or the, you know, most electronics. This board probably has, this mixing board here for the station probably has firmware.
I would imagine so.
Yeah. So
it's software that's been written to a hardware device in the computer.
Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm.
And then you have hardware, which is the nuts and bolts.
Right, right.
It's kind of an embedded operating system would be a good way to put it.
For a device or something.
It's not something that gets changed often. You know, it just gets updated, you know, whenever a bug has been identified or something. And, you know, it's something that, if any of our listeners are like having any problems with their internet routers, you can log into the router and update the firmware on. A lot of times, fix problems.
No, you can do that. Hi, you're on with the geeks.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you guys. Speaking of printers, who's a decent manufacturer out there? Printer, scanner.
Great question. Great question. Who are you guys getting?
I'm kind of an HP guy myself.
I'm a Brother. I like Brother for. Laser printers currently. They're great. Although the HP firmware stuff just gets interesting because they've made it more difficult to use third-party. They break your third-party.
That's true. HP has been a bad boy just recently. HP's made it so that a bunch of their printers will just absolutely refuse to use refilled or third-party ink cartridges.
Really?
And they've pushed out a new firmware that the thing just shuts down.
Now, I've also heard about printers that have, like, you put, it's got ink for a year in it and stuff like that. Who's doing that? I've been hearing about cheap ink goes for the year. You don't have to replace these cartridges every 10 minutes.
Well, I haven't heard that, but HP has a thing where the printer will notify them. You sign up for a program. And the printer will notify them, and they'll automatically ship out ink when your ink tanks get down to 25%.
So once a week you get ink?
Exactly. Yeah. So Matt, tell them about why you like Brother.
I usually get their middle of the run business printers, and I got my sister one of their low end. I think it was like $98 or $89 wireless laser jet printers. It's been a tank. Got her all the way through her master's and have had zero maintenance on it.
Yep.
So if you don't print very often, I really recommend looking at a low-end laser printer because you just don't have to worry about the ink cartridges at all.
Yep.
Great. I'll go to their website and read up.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right. Take care.
970-963-2976. Printers, printers, printers today, huh?
You know, I've also had some really good Canons. I've got a Canon D460 right now that is just a, you know, I had a D600 that, I mean, it ran until I couldn't get drivers for my computers. It's kind of just sitting there in a corner as a shrine to printers that won't die.
Uh-huh.
And I've got a D460 that it refuses to die. It just chugs along. So, yeah.
That's what we're looking for, chuggling and chuggling.
Absolutely. So, what else is going on out there, you guys?
KDE has been around for 20 years at this point.
Yeah?
So KDE is a desktop environment for Linux, and it's very Mac-ish.
Are they having a birthday party for it?
I think, yeah, they are. They're having their annual KDE thing in Europe, so they're having a big party.
Okay. Nice. That's good stuff. And let's see. You know, I noticed that solid state drives would take a huge plunge in price. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, they're in free fall. It's yeah. Great for you can get a 1 terabyte one for like $350 now.
No, $249. Already? I just ordered a couple of them for $249. So
I looked two weeks ago. They were $300 and something. Yeah.
Now, granted, they're made by Chinese children, and they can't even read the name on them. But I'm just kidding. That's actually a crucial 201 terabyte for $245.
Wow!
So, is that an internal hard drive?
Internal. It's one of the solid state drives that basically uses the same technology as a thumb drive does.
Mm-hmm.
So it's super super fast.
What's the biggest thumb drive you can buy?
I think I've heard of 512s.
I've definitely heard of 512s. I'm not sure what the
512 gigabytes.
Yeah. So. Which is a huge thumb drive. I mean, it's like, what could you be lugging around? I don't know.
It's nice. That's nice.
It is. Very nice. So.
Well, I did go out and get, a 3 terabyte drive or something? And been just backing up all my stuff onto it. Mm-hmm. Of course, now I need to back that up, but you got to back up your backup.
Now you need to hermetically seal it.
Okay.
And bury it.
So Kingston Data makes a 1 terabyte USB 3 flash drive.
Cool.
How much is it?
Standby.
Thinking now.
$642.
Yeah, that was a little bit spendy.
So you might be better off to get one of the crucial internal drives and throw it in a little external hard drive enclosure.
Yeah, a little chassis. So has your phone caught on fire yet, Matt?
No, I have an S5. So.
Oh, that's right.
So I do need to get a new battery for it. I haven't worn this one out.
All the Note 7s are persona non grata.
Hi, you're on with the geeks.
Hey, geeks, it's Donna.
I knew she was going to contact us.
Are you in Sweden?
No, I got back from Sweden last night, but I just was in meetings, so I thought I'd give you a quick call. I missed the beginning of the meeting, of the show. How are things going? Good?
Going great. Yeah. A lot of people moving to printers or moving to new computers and trying to get their printers working, things like that. We just started talking about Samsung phones, though, and I'm thinking about my next phone. I'd love to stay with Apple, but they have eliminated the headphone jack, and they had no fireworks involved in the new Apple. So just kind of wondering what other people are into these days and what might save me some money.
Steve wants a phone that'll keep him warm at night.
Well, yeah, exactly.
If you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, what is it, the Note, the one with the battery?
Yeah.
Is it the Note? Yeah, I was going to tell you on the aircraft when we were flying, they said, if you had one of those, you had to keep it off. You couldn't even turn it on.
They won't let. Yeah. There's airlines that will not let you fly with them now. In several countries, including the U.S.
But, the other thing that I wanted to tell you, it was very interesting to me because when I got over there, I thought, I'm going to have to get some cash. No, everybody takes credit card there. Like none of my coworkers or I at all even bothered to get cash. We just used our credit card.
So you don't know like how many shillings go in a kroner at this point?
Well, no.
Isn't that the unit of measure over there?
Krona, yeah, krona.
Krona.
Yeah, like a crown, yes. But anyway, and things, it was very interesting. So I did notice, though, that was good. I didn't notice a lot of people paying with, like, Apple Pay or something like that, but I did notice everybody paying with credit card. I rarely saw anyone in the whole country the whole time I was there for, like, a week pull cash out.
Yeah. Was it chip cards everywhere you went?
Yes. Yeah. It was all chip cards. Okay.
And did they charge you they charge you extra to use your card over there?
No. Just
really?
Just the regular fee.
And was it in dollars?
When I got when I would do a credit card charge, I would get immediately a notice how much it was charged. on my card on in dollars. So
any surprises?
No, not at all. In fact, it was funny because I have both Chase and Capital One, and Chase said if you use your Visa, they charge 3% fee.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked. And, I got a Capital One credit card that's a rewards card, and none of their cards charge fees for using overseas. So anyway, I would definitely make sure if anybody travels out of the U.S. that you make sure that you're using a card that they don't charge you a fee to use it over there in addition to, because of course there's, So anyway, that was my experience traveling over there.
And what kind of card are you using?
I'm using a Capital One MasterCard.
Uh-huh.
Capital One, like venture card, a rewards venture, And so it worked really well. And the other thing is sometimes when you would go, there was only one place where apparently in the U.S., most of us don't have PINs for our credit cards. We only use a PIN for a debit card. But they were asking if, I know at one point where I got on the subway, they were asking if I had a PIN for my credit card. So I had to go to a different location to buy my subway card.
Got it.
Wow.
But
okay.
Yeah, do you guys have PINs for your credit card?
Uh-huh.
I have PINs and needles.
Oh, anyway, I just wanted to check in and say hello.
Hey, we'll talk to you next week.
You're the best. Okay, thanks so much for calling, Donna.
Bye.
Donna Dalton calling from San Diego for you here on Geek Speak. Boy, that went quick. You've been listening to Geek Speak, and I'm Steve Skinner here with Louie the Computer Guy.
Thank you, Steve.
And Matt McBrayer from the Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Thank you, everyone.
The show has been underwritten by Louie the Computer Guy and Umbrella Roofing. Stay tuned for NPR and local news right here on KDNK.